In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
If you're older than, I don't know, say 30, and you see hundreds of thousands of Canadians on the streets today striking for climate action, you might feel guilty. And you probably should. I do. And this week, in front of the whole world, that guilt was given a furious voice.
People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
Greta Thunberg has defined the generational gap on climate change. But as angry and eloquent and inspiring as she might be, she has not done it alone. It is a whole generation of young people who will inherit a world that may or may not be livable, depending how the next decade goes, that have coalesced around Greta. And that's what took her from a lone girl outside of Swedish parliament to the leader of a global movement. And most of those young people don't get front pages. They don't get to yell angrily in a politician's face. They don't even necessarily protest and try to convince people how dire it is. Some of them just try to help us all understand, not to force people to see the world the way they do, but to arm everyone with the information needed to make their own decision about what climate change means to them and who is best positioned to lead on it. And it's one of those young people who joins us today. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Isabel Hurley is a master's student in biology at Dalhousie. Hi, Isabel.
Hi, thank you for having me.
No problem. We wanted to talk to somebody who had an incredibly interesting project on the go, but also might be on strike today. Are you on strike?
I am. I'm going to be heading down to the rally in Halifax today.
Why are you doing it?
Well, I'm going on strike because I think that climate change is one of the most pressing issues of our time. The UN announced fairly recently that we have about 10 years to turn the ship around and keep warming to below 1.5 degrees. So I'm going on strike just to draw attention to this very large environmental issue and to hopefully get some media coverage and some politicians taking notice. And I think they already have.
Well, tell me about your project that aims to help with that, because you developed a website called EnviroVote. Tell me where it came from and what it does.
Yeah, well, it's kind of fantastic that I'm talking to you. The first thing I do every morning is listen to the Big Story podcast. And so I believe it was like June 24th this year, and I was walking to go see my supervisor, and I was listening to the podcast in the morning, walking to work, and you had someone on named Catherine Hayhoe. She's a climate scientist in the U.S.
Yes.
And she had suggested that somebody in Canada should put together a website that would make it really easy for voters to look and compare the environmental platforms of the major political parties in Canada leading up to the election. And I mentioned this to my supervisor, and Derek Tinsler, and he said, yeah, we could totally do that if you wanted to. So from there, we contacted Catherine to get her permission, and we've all been working together to build this platform that does compare the very specific environmental policies of the different federal parties.
Well, yeah, because I actually remember that conversation with Catherine, and the one problem that I had is I could ask her anything, and she's smart enough to answer it, but I don't even know what questions to ask to get a comprehensive view of what these climate policies will do. So how well do Canadians understand where their parties actually stand on climate versus kind of the promises that they hear?
Yeah, I think that, and Catherine, I think, mentioned this herself in the original podcast, but this is my field of study, and I found it very confusing to figure out where they stood. So basically what we decided to do was to look at the two biggest issues, our two biggest environmental issues, and that's climate change and biodiversity loss. And those are the two biggest environmental issues as identified by the UN. And then from there, we broke it down into subcategories. Like under climate change, you'll find the Paris Agreement or carbon pricing, which is always a hot topic. And then under biodiversity loss, you find things like protected areas or species at risk. And so our idea was just to break it down into those subcategories and include a very quick graphic that will allow readers to easily digest where the different parties stand on climate change and biodiversity loss.
Tell me why biodiversity is such a huge part of it, because to be honest, and I'm guilty of it too, when we discuss climate change, we usually just say climate change. You've made a point not to.
I think that often people, when they think of environmental issues, they solely think of climate change, but there's an equally important environmental issue, and that's biodiversity loss. So we have a million species that are at risk of going extinct, and so the UN just earlier this summer released a report saying that it was an environmental issue on the same scale as climate change. And of course, climate change is also contributing to biodiversity loss. So it's very complex to separate.
When I look at EnviroVote, and I'm just going to give some examples for people who are listening and haven't been there yet, you basically have categories, the categories you described, and then under each of them, there are, you know, 4 to 7 points. Things like intends to eliminate fossil fuel subsidies or against future pipelines. And, you know, parties will get a check mark or an X, or they're left gray, which means that they haven't made a policy one way or the other yet.
Exactly. So the Conservatives, the NDP and the Green Party have all rolled out their entire environmental platforms. And you may have noticed this week the Liberals are just unrolling theirs right now. And so every day I'm combing through the Liberals' press releases. And so those gray boxes are slowly going to turn into either check marks or X's or maybes. So, for instance, Trudeau said that he wants to protect 25% of the ocean and land by 2025. And we address that in questions in statements 25 and 26. So unfortunately, he doesn't want to protect 30%, which is what scientists have recommended. So we gave him an X for that.
Who determines which of these points are included in deserving of judging policies based on them? Where did they come from?
The different points and policy issues largely came from a document that was put together by environmental NGOs in Canada. And these were issues that they wanted to see all of the political parties addressing in their platforms. And then in collaboration with Dr. Hayhoe, she added a few as well. So that's what we came up with to give voters a pretty broad strokes look at the major environmental policies.
In doing that, is there a particular area in research that scientists are concerned about that tends to be under-addressed by federal plans?
That's a great question. I think that just like how you mentioned earlier, biodiversity loss is often not talked about as much as climate change. And as it stands right now, the only party that has addressed or has mentioned biodiversity loss in their platform is the NDP. So I think that's worth noting. But I mean, lots of things like the idea of having an expert body that informs all of the climate change policy that hasn't been addressed by the party. So that's something that scientists would hope for as well.
Tell me about the section that judges whether or not various plans will keep global warming under 2 degrees, because it looks like none of them can promise that, or even 1.5 degrees, which is also full of X's, which is depressing to look at.
Yeah. It's not very encouraging. So basically, we relied on the research of Dr. Mark Jacquard at SFU, and he modeled the climate change platforms of the Conservative Party and found that they weren't going to meet the 2-degree warming target. And he also modeled the current Liberal Party platform and found that they weren't going to meet the target either. The NDP and the Green Party have plans that could meet the target, but unfortunately they don't have enough detail for Dr. Jacquard to be able to model them right now. So the parties, a lot of them have stated that they intend to meet these targets. However, the policies don't match up with that intention.
Well, and how realistic are some of the plans that they're getting check marks for? You know, are you judging them and giving them a check mark based on whether or not they can actually achieve it, or just whether they've said they will? You know, I know the Liberals made a pretty impressive promise this week to get Canada carbon neutral. Does that count, or do they have to show a way that they'll actually achieve it?
Right. So as it stands, we've given them a maybe for that because they've maintained their 2030 targets as they are. So they're keeping the same targets that we had under the previous Conservative government. And then they're saying that by 2050, we'll be able to be net zero. So I really hope that works, but there is a lot of detail missing. But how we decide whether to give them a check mark or an X is based on whether or not it's in their platform. We're trying to make this as unbiased as possible. So, for instance, if you look at under the transportation section, we've given them all a check mark to saying that they're committed to making zero emission vehicles more affordable in Canada. And all of them in their platforms have ways of doing that. They're not all the same, but they are all committed to doing that.
Now I am asking you for a judgment call, because when you went through this, I won't ask you to pick one party as the worst on the environment, but we always talk about the Green Party being the party for voters who believe there's a climate crisis. Do they stack up? Does their policy stack up to that? Are they clearly out in front as they claim?
I would say that if you give it a quick glance, now it's hard to say because the Liberals are still unrolling their platform, but as far as just looking at who's getting green check marks, the Green Party is definitely out front, and as well as the NDP. But I think what's excellent about this election cycle is that if you go to the top of the page, the three first statements, do they acknowledge that climate change is real? They all do that. They all acknowledge that climate change is caused by humans, and they all acknowledge that we need to do something about our carbon emissions and reduce them. So, I mean, the first step to solving a problem is admitting that there is one. So I think that's a great place to start. And then from there, the website gets more specific. But they all are realizing that we do need to cut carbon emissions.
Since we're on an optimistic note right here, I want to ask you how you feel right now, because today is the day that the Canadians are striking for climate change. How do you feel over the past couple of weeks watching the conferences from New York and speeches by Greta Thunberg and others about the crisis and how the movement is in general?
Yeah, I am feeling really, really happy to see that we're finally getting the attention to the issue that it deserves. I think that Greta is such a hero. I'm excited for her to win the Nobel Peace Prize, as I'm sure she will. I've been thinking about climate change since I was in grade four and I watched Inconvenient Truth. And it's been something that's been motivating me since then, really, through to getting my master's today and building this website. And I'm really inspired by all the young people who are out protesting on the streets. And I'm really excited that CBC polls have shown that climate change is one of the top issues that people are thinking about. That said, EnviroVote.ca is not meant to tell you who you should vote for. We think that the environment, just like healthcare or the economy, is a major issue in this election. And we want to make it easy for voters who are interested in this issue to go and see the difference between the different parties. And instead of having multiple tabs open on their computer where they're trying to sift through jargon-filled platforms, we've done that work for them, and so it should be much easier for them to get a grasp of where every party stands on environmental issues.
I want to talk to you about growing up with climate change in general, because you mentioned you watched An Inconvenient Truth in grade four, so you're much younger than me. What is it like to have grown up knowing this was kind of an existential threat and then being called into essentially the demographic group that all of us old people are hoping saves us?
I think it's really sat with me as something quite heavy throughout my life. And I think at times I would get quite emotional about it. And adults would often tell me I was being too emotional, I was being too sensitive. And now I don't want to say it's nice, but in some ways it is nice to finally be at a place where I think we're all having a real conversation about what this means. And everyone's engaged, and it's not a partisan issue. Well, I suppose there's the People's Party of Canada, but for the most part, it's not a partisan issue. And that's really encouraging to see.
Do you feel resentful towards older generations for their inaction on this? I'm just asking you honestly. For what it's worth, I feel guilty.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's always hard. I think you still talk to people who don't understand why climate change is an issue that it's already affecting the world around us. It's not something you have to worry about for future generations only. It's something you have to worry about for your own lifetime. So I don't know if I can be resentful of people who don't understand what's going on, but I'm really, really excited that I think it's going to be harder and harder to not know what's going on. From Greta speaking at the UN to the UN statements themselves, and hopefully to people reading information on EnviroVote Canada.
So what happens next for EnviroVote? I mean, obviously you'll continue to update it as new policies become clear, but in the bigger picture, where would you like to take this?
Well, I'm going to keep it running, obviously, up until October 21st. And then from there, my supervisor, Derek Tittenser, and I are both really interested in potentially building a similar website for other countries and their elections. So I've had some interest from someone from Germany already. And so if there are any listeners who are interested in building a similar website to compare the environmental platforms of political parties in their own countries, please feel free to reach out to us through this site. If you go on our site, you can click on either our Twitter or Instagram icon. And every day leading up to the election, we're going to be posting a topical comparison of the political party platforms.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today. And thanks for creating this resource that clearly I needed and probably some of our listeners.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. And thank you for hosting this podcast, which obviously inspired this website.
Amazing. Full circle. Thanks, Isabel. Have a great day.
You too.
Isabel Hurley, a master's student in biology at Dalhousie and the creator of EnviroVote.ca. You really should be looking at it before you vote. That was the big story. For more from us, including the episode that inspired this episode, you can find them at thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can also talk to us on Twitter and complain about how often we talk about climate change at TheBigStoryFPN. We won't listen to you. You can also find this podcast anywhere you get them. On Apple, on Google, on Stitcher, on Spotify. If you think climate change is a big issue, give us 5 stars because we ain't letting up. Claire Broussard is the lead producer of The Big Story. Ryan Clark and Stephanie Phillips are our associate producers. And Elisa Nielsen is our digital editor. Matthew Morrow is our research assistant. And I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll talk on Monday.